Well, thank you. Hopefully I can answer some of the questions that Fred Borland was having problems with. We won't ever have to put a picker in a field. We'll just know what it is.
There's no question I can answer. I don't know.
Okay, I don't know how many of you saw this news story that came out last week, but there was a computer hacker. He goes by the name of Starbug, but he's a German hacker. And he took a stock photo, a high-resolution photo, of the defense minister in Germany. It was a picture of her hand, and he was able to clone her fingerprint. And then he took that fingerprint and busted into a lot of her private accounts. And so he posted this message, "Guten Tag, my name is Dr. von der Leyen." And so this has biometric security analysts and experts freaking out right now that our fingerprints can be cloned with just a digital image. So this begs the question, why can't we use these same sort of technologies for less nefarious reasons like estimating cotton yield? So this was a project that I worked on this past summer. I looked at five different locations, and these were already planted for other purposes. So these weren't planted intentionally for this particular project, but I looked at our commercial variety trial, and I looked at the national and regional standards there, and that was at College Station, and it was non-irrigated, it was dry land. The big issue that I was most concerned about there is the soil's a little bit on the light side, and when I say light, not necessarily sand clay content, but the reflectance. It was a bright soil. And then I also had another drought experiment there. There were 9 entries in there, mostly experimental genotypes there, but it's similar type of soil there, and so it was a very highly reflective soil. And then the variety trial at Thrall, which is on black soil there, and I looked at the national regional standards there. But the issue that I had there late in the season, they kind of let the grass go, and so we had a lot of dead grass and those experiments there, and the same thing with that identical drought experiment that I had going on there. And then I took the national regional standards grown at our Commerce location, which is just northeast of Dallas, in that short growing season there. And because the growing season is a little bit shorter there, sometimes the bowls don't open up quite as much, so you have a little bit of a tight bowl issue there. And see, what? No, I'm missing a slide. I guess I didn't save it last night. So, but let me describe the way I was photographing these rows of cotton. We grow about 40-foot plots, and I would get at the very back of them, and I'd take 2 steps back. I try to be consistent. I had my camera, and it wasn't a fancy camera. I paid like $100 for it at Best Buy, and it included a coupon, and it was a sale. And my kids mostly use a camera to take pictures of the cat with. So this is not a fancy camera by any stretch of the imagination. I had just on plain outdoor setting mode, so I didn't jack with that. And so I tried to get the top of the lens picture at the very back of the cotton plot. And so I wound up with what I thought were fairly consistent photos for each plot. I took the data and analyzed it and tried to make this as simple as possible because, at the end of this presentation, we'll sit around, we can poke holes in what I did right and what I did wrong, and that's okay. But I just went it through a Pearson's correlation coefficient, so just a simple linear regression there. But I use this simple program. It's free on the internet. It's VG is Just. And what you do is you take the photo there and you just drag it into this this image analyzer. And on this image analyzer, you go to Image, and then it's a pull down menu there. You go to Adjust, and then you go to Brightness and Contrast. And just to keep things simple and standardized, I was setting the minimum maximum at 225, and I'm not sure what 225 means exactly, but it seemed to work. And so what happened is I go from a photo that looks like this type of cotton to this type of cotton, where you can just pick out the whiteness or the reflectance of the open cotton there. And this was actually at College Station. And you see some of the, I don't know if you can tell it or not, but there's a little bit of red tinge in there. So you can see a little bit of reflectance coming off that soil. So I don't know how much that affected the final numbers there, though. And so it gave me a number, because after you do that, you go to analyze, and it pulls down a menu, you go to measure, and then this box pops up, and the number that I'm looking for is under this mean of 16.173, and I'm assuming that's the number of pixels or white pixels that are in this particular trapezoidal area. And I've changed the area a little bit, and it's uncannily consistent that it comes out to about or pretty close to the same mean, so it's fairly reproducible there. I was really shocked. So this would be one of our better type of plots. But you see what happens if we go to a plot that's got problems. I mean, even Fred Borland could pick this one out that this was a stinker. We've got skips here. The bowls are kind of tight locked. It's not going to be a high yielding plot of cotton. And a lot of times we probably just throw it away. We wouldn't include it in our data. So we put it into an image. We do the brightness and contrast. Then we analyze it, and we come up to 5.618. And this is what got me really excited. I said, hey, this might actually work in a lot of cases. And so I wanted to show you what those correlations are at those different locations. Now, this was, gee whiz. Okay, this was when I pulled all the data together across all the locations, all five locations. And you see a cluster here of data here, and then it sort of strings out up here. And our value is only a 0.46049. So while it was statistically significant, not a lot of prediction there. But I mean, it's okay. But obviously, you see a big cluster here. So and we know that, or I assumed that there was a genotype or a pixel by environmental interaction there. And so I broke these out by location. And if we looked at what we saw at Commerce, and remember Commerce was our most northern location, the bowls were kind of on the tight side, and we got a correlation of 0.645. And so that's not too bad, I didn't think. Still, you see a few outliers there, but I think it helps out a little bit there. And then we looked at the drought experiment at College Station, and it got us up to 0.7895. Again, you see some here on the top end that were looking pretty good. The thing about these drought experiments, I had a variety. Well, I don't even know if it's a variety. It's probably more of a land race because we just use it for markers. But it's a red. It's red. It has red foliage, and we just use it for borders and fillers and to make sure that we're not screwing up. But I mean, it's never going to yield as much as green cotton. But that was the one that it would harvest more than what the pixels said it was going to harvest. So it was sort of an oddball, and I'm not sure why it was looking like that. The bowls were fairly normal shaped, but for some reason it had an oddball genotype in there. So that was something to consider there. I also had Tamcott 73 included in this particular. What's going on? Tamcott 73, and if you know anything about Tamcott 73, it's kind of a little bit on the short side, has a little bit tighter bulb than a lot of our cotton growing there, but it yields a lot. And so it would consistently underestimate how much cotton that one was producing. Here's the commercial variety trial at College Station. This is one I got really excited about. I mean, if I could consistently get these type of results, we could just completely blow up our cotton picker and never have to fool with that stupid thing again. But we got a correlation of 0.937, and I was really, really happy about that. The thing about those particular plots is they, in terms of yield, we had a wide array on the yields, and we didn't have a lot of yields that were clustered together. And it included varieties like Phytogen 725, which it's in there as a quality, but not particularly adapted to our area. So you saw a lot of different genotypes there. And then the commercial variety entries at Thrall, and it had a correlation value of 0.653. And again, the big problem at Thrall is we had a lot of grass in those plots, and that grass was shooting off a lot of reflectance there. So I don't know how much that complicated those particular results. And then the drought experiment, again at Thrall, and it was a 0.47, and this is where we had that oddball red variety was kind of throwing off the values there. And then so just to summarize the findings of what I was seeing with these correlations between the pickles and the seed cotton yield, our highest yielding location was the dryland CVT at College Station, and seed cotton yields was 3,600 pounds per acre, had a really good high correlation coefficient. And this kind of shocked me, because going into this, when I first started taking these photos, I said, well, once we get above, you know, a bell and a half, 2 bells of cotton, it's probably just going to see a sheet of white, and we're not going to see many differences there. And that was kind of opposite of what we kind of saw. Now, we harvest tests at Weslaco, irrigated trials down there, where we have gotten, you know, 4 and 5 bells an acre there. And, man, it is tough to walk through and try to pick out progeny rows in cotton like that, because everything just looks white. I mean, those are fun tests to harvest because your bags are so full. But I don't know how effective this type of technology work in those really high-end situations. But on the other hand, on the other end of the spectrum, we harvest and we grow a lot of locations where we may be only half a bell to a bell an acre. Particularly, you know, when we get down to that the Corpus Christi, San Patricio area, where they're really dependent upon a lot of rainfall there. So in last year, in this particular test, it was highly effective. Now, at the College Station, I think we saw a little bit lower numbers there because of that the few oddball genotypes that were in there, and I don't know what the solution is on that one. Thrall, I think if we did a better job on the weeds, I think we probably would have gotten a little better correlation there. And then at Commerce, you know, it's just a short growing season. The bowls are going to be oftentimes a little bit tighter up there, and so we're going to underestimate yield there at Commerce. So, areas that this can be improved upon. If you've ever harvested yield trials and you believe what's coming off the picker, the weigh scale, or any of those scales, and you think it's 100% right, you're probably lying, or you're Jesus. We do the best we can, but, you know, you'll have a blowout. You'll have a little bit of cotton from one plot get into the next one. I mean, it's not 100% accurate. It's pretty close, but it's not 100% accurate. And so sometimes that accuracy of your physical harvest versus what your pictures, you know, there may be some discrepancies there. I've already talked about the high yield versus the low yield. I'm not sure how that's going to play out because it kind of fooled me this past year. The soil type, I think if this technology is going to work, it's probably got to be calibrated for reflectance off the soil, particularly if you get into areas with a lot of sand or calcium on top of that soil. You need to be able to control weeds or account for weeds, something along those lines. Bowl types, I think that's going to make a big difference. You know, just as we're walking through progeny rows and we're scoring plots, the bowl type is often very, very deceptive there. And then if we have plants that are lodging, if they get out of my trapezoid area, if half the cotton is laying over there but it still gets picked up by the picker, we're not accounting for that type of yield loss there. If we have skips or weak stands, I think actually if you have skippy cotton, this might actually be of a little benefit because you get into those skips and you get a true representation of where the cotton is not. And so, but I think ideally you'd want a full healthy stand there. And then another factor to consider is the fruiting type. If you've got those, John Ganaway used to call them stovepipe cottons or the real cluster fruited type cottons, I think we're probably going to wind up underestimating yields on those types versus the ones that are normal and open type fruiting pattern. On all of these plots, I tried to make it a point, and I did make it a point. I took these photos about the same time of day. It was just right after lunch. There were no cloud covers, so it had a very similar type of, you know, solar influence there. But I think if you take them in the morning or if you, particularly if there's a cloud that goes overhead, I think it could complicate things. Obviously, you don't want to take them at night. And then I think if you're looking at stripped versus picked cotton, we pick all of our cotton. But if you get into a stripper versus picker type situation, your stripped cotton is probably going to be underestimated there. And then one of the big things, the way I was taking the picture, if you had alley effects, if you have big plants on the very end of your row, they could, if a bowl pops up and it's right in your lens, well, it's going to skew the information there.